how far I can go today. I want to see how far I can go. I want you to understand that, and I rarely say this, but I'm not on my way to becoming a teacher. Praise the Lord. Eh? I stand in the office of it. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? I'm not wishfully thinking or hoping. No, no, no. You see, prophetically, someone can pick out a person and say, there's a teaching anointing on you, or you're a teacher. They can have a teaching grace upon them, be called to stand in an office, but haven't yet entered it. And often people jump to conclusions. Eh? Eh? So once they receive the prophetic word, they constantly just conclude that I am in the office. But I'm not presuming. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? I am not presuming. I am in the office of it. Eh? Praise the living God. Eh? And the mandate that the Lord gave me, directly in line with my office, is, you want to know?
Yes.
Is surrounded by creating clarity around times and seasons. Praise the Lord. So now listen to this. Eh? Men carry graces and they have mandates. All of you have mandates. When you carry a mandate and you walk into it, anyone around you can tap into that grace. Especially if they're a minister. So if someone carries a prosperity mandate, you just have to be in the fellowship. You understand? And so results will sip. In the same way, one thing that should be clear to you just by sitting here is the times and seasons. You will be a son of Issachar. Praise the living God. Eh? Praise the living God. And so, It's a mandate amongst other things that the Lord gave me, but it's profound. And so the Lord told me in the past week or so, he told me to remind, for those who did not know, what it is that you should expect from attending. That one thing should be clear. Your timings, not with your mind, you'll be ushered into your season and your time. Because amongst the many things that I search God for, one thing, and I pray some of you pay attention, eh? Because you should pay attention and you'd know that nothing just happens by accident. Nothing just, there are no coincidences in the realm of the spirit. The person you sit next to, the fact that you came for fellowship, the job that you have, the fact that you don't have a job, there are no coincidences in the realm of the spirit. There's a scripture I read in the book of Isaiah. I forget it. It has skipped my mind. But God was speaking through Isaiah and he said, I curse you and your gods of lack. Lack, L-U-C-K. Now, there is no lack. There is no coincidence in the realm of the spirit. Okay? Man, okay. Can I get 4 volunteers? Come. I need to, I've been teaching this on a Sunday, but you guys really like to be on the camera, eh? Okay, I want you to be, let's be central. I want to explain something that I've done on numerous occasions, but this will most likely help most of you who are not around. Eh? Come here. Okay, now, I've explained in the past, and I'll explain again, that God sees time differently from us. Time is different. And I've explained before that the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that God is high and lifted up and he inhabits eternity. So where he is, there's no time. Yes? But then when he creates the world, he wraps it in time. Okay? Now, there's a reason for that. This is Adam. It's the reason I switched it around. Eh? Huh? This is Adam. And there are many things I could say here, but this is our Adam. He's created in the Garden of Eden. He's created in a state of eternity. Because in the garden, time was not time that we have now. Yes?
Yes.
Okay? Now, his age is not mentioned until after the fall. Meaning he was not growing old. No one was counting. Huh? In the garden, it was perpetual bliss. Timelessness. No one was counting. Alright? So he could have been there for a million years. It was an ever-present now. We know that time is present according to scripture because the sun, the moon, and the stars are created. And you can tell seasons from the sun, moon, and stars. Eh? I want to rush through this. We do not know what a baby born in the Garden of Eden would have looked like. Every baby has been born after. Hey, Vanai. praise the Lord. Eh? Let me leave that. So, Adam did not have a child inside the perpetual bliss of eternity. The moment he sins, time is no longer now. For the first time, it has a past and a present and a future. Huh? The moment he eats the fene, huh? Time takes on a different form, past, present, and future. You're with me? So from that time onwards, from Adam, the Bible says, and Adam lives 130 years old, begat Seth. Seth lived, begat, and died. Seth, and it goes on, yeah? You know? So time after time after time, people live and die. Time is affecting men. So everyone is moving forward. There are three types of time. There is horizontal time, which existed the moment Adam sinned. It's chronological in nature. Horizontal, so you move forward. You're born, you walk, you get married, you die. Hmm? So that is horizontal time. There is another time called prophetic time. The Bible says in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about the fullness of time. Give me Ephesians 1, 9 to 10. The Lord has whispered. 9 to 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. What that means is that time repeats itself. That's why the Bible says the thing that has been is the thing that shall be. There's nothing new under the sun. You're with me?
Yes.
What is it? It says that in Ecclesiastes 1:9. Eh? The thing that has been is the thing that shall be. There's nothing new under the sun. So ideally, you should be expecting things to repeat themselves. And I was explaining to a few people over the weekend that the reason why God allowed that type of time is so that we can learn about him. Because if time was not cyclical in nature and things did not repeat themselves, it will be very hard for us to learn about an invisible God we cannot see. So he repeats things so that men can learn. There are repetitions on earth. The Bible says, Genesis 8:22, as long as the earth endures. What does it say? Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Okay? So they will keep repeating themselves. So it is ridiculous to bind bad seasons. You can't bind a bad season because night and day, and night here is not just referring to the lack of the sun, because Jesus says the night is coming, referring to his time of arrest. You understand? So it's ridiculous to bind night seasons. But I'm going to take you somewhere. Oh gosh, I'm taking you somewhere. So things continuously repeat themselves. Now, I want to show you, because men see time from this perspective, they could also see it from the cyclical perspective. Because if you look through scripture, the Bible says in Isaiah 46 verse 10, what does it say? I declare the end from the beginning. So God, the way he sees time, he sees things from there and sees the end. You're with me? God does not see progressively like we do. And I explained, I really have to summarize this, that time to us is like being on a boat on a river. You can only see the river that you're under as you move. But a person on a mountain can see the end and the beginning of the river. That's how God sees it. That's how he sees time. Praise the Lord. That means you can't surprise him. But then scripture says he has put eternity in the hearts of men. Now I'm getting somewhere. You see, along this timeline, this horizontal timeline, which is your life. I want you to look at this as your life. Along this horizontal timeline, there are things, because God sees the end from a beginning, that he placed there for you. Every life here. Every single life. Ephesians 2:10. Take me there. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So you don't do a good work and it exists all of a sudden. It exists somewhere and you walk into it. Now, I'm about to tell you something that is extremely important that you should never forget. Never forget. That because we live in the realm of time and we're always moving forward, we panic. Time is running out. Biological clock. I just had to put that one there. I had to put it there. Rabbi, I'm getting old. Rabbi, I don't have a job. You panic because you're a person who was put in the realm of time. But if you only see it from the perspective of men, you will think time is running out. That's why there are statements in the Bible that are supposed to encourage you. It says he redeems the times. What that means is that it's possible for you to move ahead and have lost time, but God resets. May that be your portion in the name of Jesus. You're with me?
Yes.
Your cousins have got married, or your friends have got good jobs, or your business has not. And in a moment, in a twinkling, he just resets it. And you find yourself above those who had gone ahead of you. That's why, remember sometime when I told you, speed doesn't matter if you're heading the wrong direction. You might be in a rush, but to God you're on the wrong path. Not your portion. So the people who are in a rush, you see them, they're all over the world. They have succeeded, but in heaven their names are not even whispered. No one knows them. That's why if you read through the story, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, don't go there, the Bible talks about a rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus is named because heaven knows him. The rich man has a name, but the Bible does not name him. You understand? Because from heaven's perspective, you might have nothing on earth, but be valuable in eternity. Now, because God sees things from the end, he sees it from the beginning. He sees the end from the beginning. He desires you to see things the same way. Now, that's why whenever in the Bible an angel appears before Gideon and calls him as a finished work, he says, oh, mighty man of valor. He sees the end from Jesus calls Peter a rock in a time when he's not. That means you are not defined by the now. You understand? When a prophet is prophesying, he picks along this timeline. Now, I need to explain to you something. That the way the spirit realm sees time is the end is seen from the beginning. Paul said something. Jesus said something, actually. Matthew 5:48. And I said, take care of Bosch on that. I believe that's the scripture. If it's there. Yes. He says, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, this is a crazy statement. Because from a mindset of men, how can someone be? But in the realm of the spirit, perfection is not achieved, it's received. You understand? It is received. It is bestowed upon a man. And he receives it. Now, all these works that have been placed along this timeline, you don't wait to get there. You don't. You must perfect the art of seeing it as done. And this is the secret to walking into all things that God has prepared for you. It's why scripture says all things work together for good. You understand that Isaiah 53. Now, remember what I said. The moment Adam sins, time takes on three forms, past, present, and future. But before that, it was only now, present. Our perception of past is that what something is done, it is finished. And future is that when something is to come, it's not yet done. That's how we see it. Heaven does not see it like that. In the Bible, it is possible for something in the past to not yet be done, and something in the future to be done. Oh, my sweet Jesus. I hope I'm not confusing anyone. Eh? It is very possible from the spirit realm for something in the past to not yet be done and something in the future to be done. Now, let me give you an example. This is Isaiah 53, a profound chapter for me, very profound, because in it, I don't know what Isaiah was going through here, but there are things here that astound me. He says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Verse 2. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant." Notice he's talking in future tense. "He shall. Before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness." He's now talking in the present. He has no form or comeliness. He said he shall, and he says he has. Then he says, "And when we shall see him." That's future. So he's used all three in one statement. Now, Isaiah, are you talking about the past, the present, or the future? He goes on, verse 3. He says, he is despised, present, and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, talking of Jesus, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. That's past. He was despised, past. And we esteemed him not. That's past, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs, present, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, verse 5. But he was past. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes were healed. Actually, if you read the whole Isaiah 53, he's just switching from past, present, future, past, present, future, past, present. It's because when someone taps into eternity, past, present, and future can be combined to become a thing that is now. You understand? And so it's possible for it not to have happened, to be happening, and will happen. Now, I'm going to make this practical to you, please, for the person who might not be on the same wavelength. But you see, that's why the Bible says in Revelation 13:8, it says, "The Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth." Hold on. So Jesus died. But then he comes into time to die. And the entire time prophets are saying he's coming. Are you getting what I'm saying? So from the spirit, things are seen as finished. When they enter time, you're just playing out and walking into something. That's why Jesus says, "I do nothing unless I see my Father." It's in the realm, everyone here is a book. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says Jesus literally fulfilled a book in heaven. And you're a mini book, a word becoming flesh. You're picking things that are written and you begin to walk into them. You don't do works, you walk into them. And that's why if you have a mindset It's possible for a person in the realm of time to be doing what's wrong. And the Spirit says, look at my perfect one. And you say, what? You get offended. You get offended until you rise. For men who have seen eternity and seen from the perspective of the throne of God, they never see someone as they are now. And interestingly, neither does the devil. Because remember, I made a statement sometime. He doesn't attack you for who you are now. He attacks you for who you will be. The becoming. Notice Jesus did not say become perfect. He said be. There's a difference between becoming. It implies you're not. Be means you can, you actually are. You're just not taking the posture. English. Eh? But you understand, right? If you're becoming something, you're not it. If you be it, you have the capacity. So he says, be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Take the posture. And perfection in the realm of the Spirit is, it can be a mindset. You can get a mind of finished work. And you walk around and you say, hi, Guru. Huh? Huh? Hi, Oprah. Huh? Yeah, what's that's me. You have no studio, nothing, nada, zilch. But you're walking into a perfect work, something that is already finished. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Heaven sees things from the end. It sees from the beginning and sees the end. It sees the finished work. You must learn to capture that mindset. Because if you look only at now, the devil uses present time to manipulate your posture. That's why in the spirit realm, statements like, one day I will be rich. Confuse them. One day I will be, you will be married. Huh? But you know, it confuses because from someone who has seen the beginning, from the beginning and seen the end, he's wondering why you're talking in future tense. Eh? Praise the Lord. Amen. You must take that posture. I am that I am. Take it. Praise the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you understanding? Yes. So God places along this timeline a time that is horizontal. It also takes on forms of seasons. Now please understand that Solomon in his wisdom says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. And what he's literally saying, I have to repeat this for somebody, what he's literally saying is that everything from the day that Adam sinned, everything took on a season. Animals, planets, everything in the realm of time took on seasons, even men. So the earth goes through seasons, cold, heat, summer, winter, all right? We go through phases and seasons in life. But you see, Solomon says, to everything there is a season. Then he says, a time to every purpose. And I was explaining that, you see, time is a function, is a smaller function within season. So you have a season, and within the season is an appointed time. Now, I told you, look at this as if it's your life. Because I haven't even got to those ones. Eh? Maybe sometime. Eh? But from Adam onwards, along this timeline, God placed things in your life that you cannot rush and you cannot delay. You just hit the time and it comes. Along that, there are things you cannot rush, even if you tried. You can't rush them and you can't delay them. When you walk, pop, the thing hits. And I've explained from the realm of the spirit, that's what a deja vu is. Already seen. In the sense that some works were already predestined. So when you reach somewhere, your mind or your spirit man tells you this has happened before, but not in time. It's actually a sign you're on the right path. Those are what you call milestones. So God puts milestones along your path in life. So every time you hit one, pop, I've met this person before. I've heard this message before. No, this is the first time he's ministering. Huh? You're on the right. Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. So, he places milestones, places preordained works. There are things you cannot rush. God attaches purpose to time. He says to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose. Huh? That means along this timeline, you might go through a season of lack. In that season, there is a time. The discerning of that time reveals the purpose for. That's why Jesus said, you look at the fig trees and they can tell their time, but you do not know my times. That's what he said to the Pharisees. David made a prayer. He said, Lord, my times are in your hands, not seasons. It says of the sons of Issachar, there were men who understood the times, not seasons. He says the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. So along a season, there is a time that when discerned, and I'm going to teach you how, when discerned, it reveals purpose. And I have to rush through this, because at every point of time, please understand that every season, every divine season is graced. All men are graced, but when your season comes, people will try to bring you down, it fails. You'll even try. You try not to apply for a job, and the jobs will come. You understand? That period where it is my season. People say, Naegwe, whether you do what, you put your hands on what, everything just prospers. You've entered, it is graced. When a season comes and it is graced, the potency of the season is at a time, a point of time that reveals why the season came. If you do not discern the time, there's a grace you do not have access to. Now, the way the Lord redeems it and helps you is number one by prophecy and the prophetic. So he'll bring a prophet because genuine prophets pick from the calendar of God. They don't just see here and time. You understand? They pick. You know, let me tell you, witch doctors and psychics, they can be able to see your past. And because time repeats themselves, they can predict a future. But they do not necessarily foretell. Because the Bible, you read the Bible, it says only God knows the future. And that's an interesting statement. So the devil is moving around. Do you know? He doesn't know. He just knows that his time is short. Doesn't know when. If you go backwards throughout time, every age, he's coming up with an antichrist. I'm telling you, you go to Caesar, you go backwards to Hitler, the different kinds of people who have a spirit in them at that time, but it's not the time. So he just keeps, he doesn't know when. Praise the Lord. Eh? But here's the thing, along your timelines, God has graced that time, that when a time is revealed and a prophet picks you out and says, I see a month from now. It's a timing in the realm of the spirit. Take note. Huh? A time has been revealed. The way God reveals timings is number one by the prophetic, number two by burdens. I really want to get somewhere, but it's taking me a while. Eh? By burdens. Eh? So, God will place a burden in someone to start a business. It will be heavy, it will be burning you. You'll even look for prophetic people. Some of you do. I don't know, but I'm just feeling this kind of thing. That's a burden. Not migugu. Huh? I'm talking about a burden that is placed in your spirit and it makes you uncomfortable. That is a sign you've entered a season. The day the burden leaves, the season has changed. It is dangerous to do things out of season. That's why the Bible sets timings to specific things. It says, the vision is but for an appointed time. Habakkuk 2:3. But for an appointed time. The Bible says, do not awaken love before it's... Yeah, yeah, you say it out loud. Now you're whispering. It's not my... I'll bring Dr. Richard to come and teach that one. Eh? But you can awaken love before its time. And it doesn't mean what most people think it means. Eh? But for another day. So God sets timelines here. And I need you to understand that because he has seen the end from the beginning, he creates cycles so that men can keep patterns. One of the ways he creates cycles is that things in the Bible repeat themselves in different ways. Number one is in types and shadows. A type and shadow means a picture, something was a picture before, and its reality came later. So Abraham takes his son to be sacrificed. A picture of Jesus. It's replicated. Jesus was actually crucified on that very same hill, Moriah. It's a picture. Okay? Moses lifts up a bronze snake in the wilderness. Later, Jesus is crucified. It's a picture. So the past reveals the future. Your past can reveal the future. And you know, I was with a man of God, a prophetic friend of mine. He was telling me of an experience he had where he was taken to the past. Now, it was similar to something a prophet Elvis had. And he went to the past and found himself in front of David. David was not a king at that time. So he was a young man, busy killing lions and whatsoever. So he appears to him. I want you to imagine as clearly as I'm talking to you and tells him, you're going to be a great man. And David is looking at him. What are you talking about? Now, there something has happened because past, present, and future are happening at once. And so he said he was taken to that point. It was so real. And imagine, I can assure you the experiences that prophets like David had about people in the future who went to their past. But they had no way to explain it. In the same way, there are people in the past, I can assure you, who come to our future. Because you see, time the way it is, it's going on. To us, it finished. But from the spiritual perspective, you can go to the past and it continues. It's still going on. You understand? Real time is still going on. So someone can come to our present, look and say, what is this? And go back. And we have examples of some in the book of Ezekiel and so on. We don't go into that. In Revelations, people are seeing helicopters and calling them scorpions. All right? Praise the Lord. You can time travel. You know that? Don't just say yes. I want you to understand that you actually can. Eh? So, God places milestones. Now, I'll touch on that later. But along that timeline, time ends in what we call the end time. Huh? So time will have an end. And I was explaining that there are two categories of things, uncreated and created. Only one person falls in uncreated, God. Everything else is in created. That means you have kinship not only with angels, animals, planets, but even time. You are a relative to it. Because you're all created. You all fall under one category. Except of all those things, God only says of man, he has put eternity within him. Now, there's a reason why in the Bible time can be rewinded, fast-forwarded, stopped. I want to show you something that the Lord is telling me to rush to. Eh? Take me to Lasete Kereboshonda. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 16. I'm going to read it. This is after Samuel had done a dare. Huh? I mean Saul, not Samuel. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. So he has just disobeyed God. Verse 18. Is it 17? Yeah? Sorry. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, when you were small in your own sight, but God did not see you like that, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Verse 18. And he says, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Let's move very fast, up to 23. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst thou fly upon the spoil and this evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag in the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. 21. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen. 22. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 23. For rebellion is as of the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Now, if you've been around, you've heard me teach this. The spirit realm will see time from a finished perspective, but God specifically also sees time generationally. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, the Bible says that God picks Abraham because he saw in him the capacity to teach his children and his children's children the commandments of the Lord. So he didn't pick Abraham just because he's a good guy, just because he had faith. He looked in him and saw the capacity to hand him something and it would be passed on. Legacies are important in the realm of the spirit. If all you think about is now and yourself, you're thinking short term. You're very shallow. That's why scripture constantly uses words like inheritance. You understand? So in here are people who can create legacies, not just in time, because your legacy goes on into the future, into the spirit. We'll talk about that sometime. So here he is, Saul. You read the Bible, he's chosen as king, and God says that your dynasty would have lasted forever. All right? So he disobeys God, and years later, in the book of Esther chapter 3, I believe it's verse 1. Esther chapter 3 verse 1. After these things, did King did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him? Now, you know the story of Esther. What happens is that here there's this antagonist called Haman. For some reason, wants to wipe out the Jews. But if you go backwards 500 years before, he was the descendant of Agag, the king who was spared. All right? Because Saul spares King Agag. And the Bible says that Haman is an Agagite. You're with me? So he's a descendant. Now, he's angry with the Jews because Saul wiped out all his people. That's why. It doesn't say that, but you just need to go backwards. And you understand. He has this beef. And he wants to wipe them out. So what God does is, this is how God redeems time. Because God now, the Bible says, give me Esther 2:5. Esther 2:5. Now in Shushan, the place where there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity. Go on, verse 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. So he's of a son of Kish. Saul's father was Kish. You with me? So 500 years later, Esther, of the lineage of Saul, meets Haman, of the lineage of Agag. They meet again. In the past, Saul failed. But this time, God is restoring what was meant to be. Then, you know, the book of Esther is interesting because it's the only book in the Bible where God is not mentioned. There's no mention of God. You just see him working behind the scenes. Very profound book. Very profound. It's one of the only book in the Bible where there's no priest mentioned or any vessel of God. A man of God. You just see a Mordecai who was working, a government guy, and there was no man of God. You understand? And yet God works behind the scenes, even when there's no man of God, in a vessel that seems an orphan. An orphan. Now hear what the Lord is saying. There's a message here to those who have had fathers who are absent, fathers who died, and fathers who are present but absent. Praise the Lord. Let me take this for a moment. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I will be a father. I'll touch that later. Okay? So she's an orphan, and God lands on her. And Mordecai, by the Spirit of the Lord, says in Esther 4:14, very famous, he says, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now, I want you to understand that you are not born by chance. I've met people who say, my dad told me I was a mistake. Huh? We had planned for 3, but you just came. Some people hear that from their parents. Eh? You just came. And you see, the thing is that there is a hand, because scripture says, in the Bible is specific, it says, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. He does not attribute formation to the mother and father. He attributes it to himself. And he says, I knew you. Mistake or no mistake, there are powerful men of God who are brought through mistakes. Quote unquote. And there are many verses of God here. How do you know if God has not brought you here in this generation for such a time as this? Do you know how many ages there have been? There have been so many ages. But you weren't there during the time of Noah? Thank God. Who knows if you would have got onto that ark? Thank God. So somewhere there, you're not there. You're not there during the time of Abraham. The guy, he doesn't bring you during the time of Moses. Who wants to walk in a desert for 40 years? Would you? Ask yourself a question. Only Joshua and Caleb. Would I? Would I have? Hey. But he passes all those generations and puts you in the last one. For such a time as this. Now, Esther is given the same mandate and restores the mistake that her ancestor did. And the Bible says that all the people, is it, take me there, Esther 8:18? If it's not there, or 6:18. That Ekaima said, you know, you look for it. And scripture says that the Jews wiped out and took the spoils of all those who wanted to destroy them. Now, the understanding is that what Saul failed to do was redeemed years later. God sees generational. He's not just looking at Flavia, Shifra. He's not just looking at Mark, Thomas. He looks and sees ahead. That means, you see, there's something that messes me up in Scripture. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7, that Abraham offered tithe to Melchizedek, and Levi was within the loins of Abraham and was the one offering tithe. Now that... So he says Levi offered tithe even though he was in the loins of Abraham. Hebrews 7. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 7. Actually, that one, it seems the Lord wants you to know this. Eh? And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Go up to verse 10. Eh? And here men that die receiveth tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Verse 9. And as I may so say, Levi also who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So according to scripture, Melchizedek meets Abraham. And in the spirit, Levi, who was supposed to collect tithe, is also there. That's the understanding that when God looks at you, he sees who's in you and who's in you and who's in you. That means you cannot give up. There are a lot more people dependent on you. There's an entire lineage that transcends the realm of time. Are you hearing me? How do you know if God did not choose you for such a time as this? And he did. Now, that brings me to the emphasis of the Spirit. Learn to honor your craft. Men honor men of God. They honor government dignitaries. They honor whatever. But a man who honors his craft, your craft is what God has called you to do. I have found a man who honors their craft. It exhorts them. Honoring your craft means not just giving it time. It means, remember last week when I gave you examples, I talked to you about you can tap into something by atmosphere. You move into gift, move into a ministry of that thing, move into the mantle, and then you move into the office. All these are potential offices. All these are potential offices. And I explained to you, I asked you to look at your life, ask yourself where you are there. Where you are there. Because I don't want to go through it, you look for it if you want here. But ideally, when you have a craft and you give your all, literally willing to die for that craft, there is nothing that cannot come to you. Nothing. You see, it's one of the most profound truths about financial provision. Higher than tithing, higher than sowing. Honoring your craft. You don't wander left and right. The Lord tells you this is it. You stay up thinking, Lord, what can I do here? Lord, reveal to me. You stay on your path. And angels guard your territory. It is these things of, let me first try call this to bring money. Then I try call this. You're discrediting your craft. You honor it. You go all out. I don't come here half-hearted. I don't. I take my craft seriously. On the days after I've ministered on a Friday, I will sleep at 4, 5. Go back and say, Lord. You know, people don't... Let me give you just a sip into the life of a minister. A person coming every week, like myself on a Friday, to people who are mostly the same people, to preach to them the same, a fresh word. I want you... And I've been in ministry since 2015. Now I want you to consider every other minister. Every single week, a fresh word. Do you know, I know what I'm talking about. Some of the ministers here will know. You will go to the Bible, as big as it is, and it will look like a pamphlet. Guy, I've preached about this, I've touched this. Lord, come through for me. Eh? It's easy when you're traveling, because you can just pick 7 things and they say, I'll touch this one in this church, touch this one, but the same people, a fresh word. When a person honors their craft, it's almost like there's something fresh and new every new day. That's what the new masses of God, every single time. And so striving for perfection is having the mindset of finished. I'm telling you, I'm not on my way to being a teacher. You're not on your way to being a businessman. You're not on your way to being an architect. Not on your way to starting a fashion empire. You're supposed to see it. The finished work is the secret. It's why the Bible blessed a day of Sabbath. It's the day when everything was finished and God rested. It's not finished from activity. It's a place of perfection. To remind you, constantly have a state. It is finished. Someone else is putting a day of service there. But it's far more than that, because in Colossians, Paul says that it's not about moons and holidays and so on and so forth. It's deeper than that. Then he says, Jesus is the Sabbath. Colossians 3, he says that. And so you need to understand, the more you have the finished perspective, everyone around you will start seeing you in that state. When I look at, for example, I was with someone yesterday and I asked them, when I mention Walter, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? They said photography. I said, why didn't you say cooking? Because the assignment and the person have become one. Yeah? Praise the Lord. You understand? But if I say, By the way, I met Mary. I said, which Mary? What? That is not your portion. There could be many teachers, there's one rabbi. Huh? I said there could be many teachers, there's one rabbi. Praise the living God. I'm not trying to be someone else. No. There could be many prophets. Okay. Now let me explain something. Because people have wrapped themselves in identity. Your identity is not separate from who you are. They are one. They are one. If you're not yet there, because I know people who don't know their callings, please understand that first, you have the prophetic that will reveal the callings. But second is that there are appointed times of encounter that you will not fall. Scripture says, a righteous man falls seven, but gets up. You understand? And it's a place of knowing that if your boundaries have not yet been perfected or defined, allow the drawings of God. Don't just do things for the sake of the mind. Allow the drawings of God. I don't know what example I can give. So if I mention Benny Hinn, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You see, you're not thinking twice. You with me? You're supposed to be a one assignment person. You're so intertwined with your call that they save Anange, Judith. That's why in the world, you notice, there are people who are one name. Oprah. Who says Oprah who? No, you tell me, who says Oprah who? And even though a person is in the dark world, because you see, let me tell you, a work, God can still use an unbeliever, like he did in Scripture, but the work is not perfected if it's outside Christ. Because God can use you to bring his things to come to pass, then you stand before him and they burn up. So there's only one Oprah. When you mention, what other one names are there? There's only one Dangote. Some people here don't know who Dangote is. If you don't know who Dangote is, you need to please start aligning yourself to certain things. You're thinking too low, eh? Please, come up. Google right now who Dangote is and let that name be upon your head, because that man is a Muslim. He's a Muslim. And he's the richest man in Africa. A Muslim. That is a throne that is available. Praise the Lord. So in here, one day we'll be saying, there's only one. You say your name. You say your name. You know these things where you go to see the president and he's the one honored to meet you. I know people, so many of you know, who presidents call and they don't pick up. The number you have called is not available at the moment. The PA calls and says, he's not available, he'll get back to you. A president. And they're not necessarily businessmen. Man of God! He says, I'm sorry, I only come to see you when God says. According to God's calendar. May that be your portion. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You will know your rising when one of the signs, first is multiplication. When people come to you for answers, you're rising. Amen. Secondly, when enemies increase, you're rising. Amen. I know you're saying, when the enemies increase, you are haters. And look at him, even his shoe, even when, you'll be fine. You know, it takes a lot to get people who are not in your realm to take notice of you. You're rising. There are things, I'm telling you, the moment you start to see things around you, when doors open without you asking for them to open. When you get in your inbox, hi, can I just get some time to see you? And because you're too busy, and you say, I'll put you somewhere in my schedule. And by the way, start doing that now. Start doing that, because I'm telling you, if you're available all the time, people love things that are rare. Just naturally. Huh? So start from this level. You start now. You say, you're calling me. I say, give me 2 days. Give me 2 days. I'll get back to you. Learn to live in your atmosphere before you reach there. Because it will surprise you when you get there. Say, hey, Banang, Rabbi, time has taken me up. For us, we were in it before we were in it. Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the Lord. Money comes to what you carry, not to you. And the more what you carry begins to take shape until it overshadows you. And when people look at you, that's all they're seeing. Because remember last week I told you, your call is God's answer to a problem. And I don't care if you're employed, because the Bible has people who are employees but perfect. Daniel was an employee. Joseph was an employee. Mordecai was an employee. You have no excuse. None whatsoever. And so you learn to nurture the perfection. Remember a time when I told you that when I walk into the room here on a Friday, it's not the first time I've been here. I come to Friday before it's Friday. Because I've learned to see a finished work. You must learn to see things the same way. May God give you his eyes. You are a finished work. Paul says, as I finish, I believe it's Colossians 1:17. It could be 1:27. One of those. 1:28. It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You present you finished with your mindset. Chiwede. Huh? Praise the Lord. Eh? I met someone who they gave 100 million Ugandan shillings a few weeks back. When I met that person, he said when he received the money, he felt like everyone on the streets was looking at him. Eh? You know? Now you guys, you know, eh? You will walk on the streets and no one's looking at you. But when you have something that is precious, all of a sudden everyone can see you. Eh? Huh? And so he said, man, I had it in a bag, and I was walking, and everywhere I felt like my entire life was in this bag. And so he got home, because he got it in the evening, but that night he kept sleeping with his eyes open. Any knock on the door, any what, he didn't say, eh? Maybe someone saw me. And I was explaining to him that usually, if you have not seen yourself hold 100 million constantly and have it when you don't have it, such things happen. I know someone who was robbed of 600 million and he said it was like 1K. I was shaking down here. A sweat just came here like this. I said, you what? Give me 1K. What? Broke into his house, took 600 million, and he said, I feel like 1K has been taken from me. Some people here, God forbid. Praise the Lord. I'll end with this, because I want to share something about Prophet Elvis that I think was extremely crucial, that helped me change my mindset. I was talking to a friend, Michael Biaruhanga, for those who know him. And so he told me of a story in 2013-14. He was in a car with Prophet Elvis, in a Harrier, a black Harrier. And they were driving around town, and Prophet Elvis stopped the car, turned to him and said, do you know, as I am right now, I can buy any building in this city. And Michael turned and said, amen. You know? Some of you are saying, you think. And he said, no, I'm not speaking in faith. Oh, Jesus. 2014. Now, for me, I asked if someone can have that mindset in 2014. What about 2021? La Hamasa. Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the Lord. May you buy buildings. May you drive Range Rovers. May your shoes change every week. May your wardrobe not be able to hold your clothes. May you have a stylist. May you own your own fashion brand. In the name of Jesus. When you speak on radio, may millions tune in. May you absorb and attract. May everywhere you go, may people be drawn to your light. In the name of Jesus, may you enter countries and distort the economy. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you step somewhere and people know you have come. In the name of Jesus, may your limitation to going to places be because you don't have privacy. In the name of Jesus, may you own houses on hills, houses in valleys, on seashores. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you walk like a billionaire. May your mind be that of a finished work. But most importantly, may your life express the ministry of God. May people see you, may they see Jesus. In the name of Jesus, when you talk, may your words be like wisdom. May they be like jewels. May people treasure them. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you create sons and daughters after you. Not only physical ones, but may people remember your legacy. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Along with that, may you heal with your hands. May you speak and establish things. In the name of Jesus Christ. May order be part of your portion. That wherever you go, chaos disappears. We speak against confusion. In the name of Jesus Christ. May your prophetic rise. May money follow after you. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord says to you, your story is not yet over. Amen. Just like Esther, you have been set here for such a time as this. Amen. Do not lose faith, no matter what the naysayers say. Amen. You will rise above. Amen. In the end, those who have spoken against you, they will come to you. Amen. They will come before you. Amen. And like Joseph, you will be their savior and bring them into the household. Amen. May the Lord give you wisdom. May he give you understanding. May he give you knowledge of the seasons, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.